Welcome to the Victor Collins Asabre podcast. We pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you and stir you up as you listen to this anointed, transformative, and down-to-earth teaching by Bishop Collins. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Enjoy the message.
You may be seated, please. We're looking at mega church, isn't it? Last week, I was talking about mega church, and I want to continue tonight. Okay, I think this should be the last night that we all come together. So from next week, Wednesdays will only be for Samaritans, and then the other branches can also have their meetings in their different churches. All right. Okay. So. John chapter 3, verse 16. So from next week, everybody meets in their church. John chapter 3 and verse 16. What do you remember from last week? I think last week we were talking about the harvest is plenty, laborers are few, isn't it? The mega church means that more laborers are released into the ministry. Am I right? Do you remember? Okay. So, John 3, 16. I'm talking about the mega church still. So, Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I think this is the beginning of the help that God decided to give us. Are you there? It's the beginning of the help God decided to give us. I believe this introduced an alternative to life here on earth, at least temporary. Are you following? Are you sure you are following? What am I saying? I'm saying that God looked at the world. Do you get it? Is it Shakina? Okay. God looked at the world. You get it? And he realized that the world needs help. And the help the world needed was another world in the world. I'm saying that God so loved the world, and so he decided to help the world. Right? He decided to help the world. And that is why he sent Jesus Christ. So you see that the sending of Jesus Christ was to create a life for people who were weary of the world they are living in. It's like you, let's even say the house lots that the government is giving. You get it? And the government, they are doing some things. If you move around, they are doing quite a number of things. Yeah, I was driving on a diamond, the John B. Bed Road. And then I think that the back of Diamond, Aina, 21st Avenue going there, the new road comes all the way there. I didn't know that. Yeah, straight all over there. It's like, you don't know the if you're going to go through the East Bank public road and then go through the usual Grove Diamond, you think that when you get to the end, that's it. But there's a whole, I think they've issued some house lots on that side. So they are opening up. It's fantastic. Then when you do the new road to Perfect Harmony also, you see they are trying to do something else to the west side. It's kind of fantastic things going on. Muhammad Ali, the boxer. Now, so let's say you don't like where you are living. What is offered you is a house lot. So you can move from where you are living to go and live somewhere else. Or you don't like where you are living, so you look for an apartment somewhere to rent, and there you go. That is a housing within options of housings. So I'm trying to help you understand what I'm saying, and you understand it better as I go along. So God, Jesus came, and he came to organize, to start a project. And the project was to offer mankind a world within this normal, this natural world. That's what the Bible says. Anybody who believes in him should not perish like how people are here on earth perishing. If you go to John chapter 10, verse 10, let's go there. John chapter 10. The Bible says that the thief cometh not. I think it's because of the emptiness. That's why we're getting the echo. We don't normally get echo like this. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he said, I am come that they may have life. But when Jesus came, we had a life. When Jesus came, Peter had a life. When Jesus came, Mary Magdalene had a life. When Jesus came, Salome had a life. When Jesus came, Andrew had a life. But he's saying that I'm going to give you a life within this life that people are living. And so he organized the 12 and all those who were with them to follow him in actually initiating the project. And after talking about and announcing the new housing scheme he was going to build, the new life he was going to give, explained a lot, taught a lot about it, the kingdom of God, to his disciples and to his hearers. Then one day in Matthew chapter, is it 18 and verse 16? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 16. Over 16 and 18. 16 and 18. Yeah. In Matthew, so in all his endeavors, then in, so remember, God loved the world and he gave. He loved the world in the sense that it's like a president who looks at the world and he says, you know what? I want to do some new things. I want to build bridges. I want to give them Jaguar Road. I want to give them what? Ants Eater Road. I want to give them a Heroes Highway. Do you get that? I want to give them a life so that they will enjoy. And anybody who believes in this life that I'm promising, they will enjoy life. So Jesus came as the initiator of the life that God wants the people he had created, human beings, to enjoy. Then Jesus said it, that this my coming, it is to give you a very nice life. This my coming is to give you your own accommodation. is to move you from the scheme and move you to Dairy. Move you from the scheme and move you to Westminster. Move you from the scheme and move you to East Bank. And then you have this life and you have it more abundantly. And then in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he says that, Peter, you are the rock. And upon this rock, I will build that my housing scheme. That my new settlement. Upon you, Peter, and the group that I have gathered with me, who I have ministered to and I have come to understand a bit of the kingdom. It is upon you I am going to initiate this new life here on earth. Before you all die and perish and then come where I'm at. And this thing is called the church. So, just like a new housing scheme in Cummins Lodge, that is the church. That is the new place, the new life that God is calling people into. So Jesus is calling people into the church for what he promised. God started by saying he loves us and he wants to introduce us to a new thing. Then Jesus came and he said that, as I have come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Then he told Peter and the disciples and addressed Peter categorically that upon you I will build this group, this large group of people. And the gates of hell, there's nothing that is going to be able to fight re-election, to fight what I have come to do to help humanity. And I'm saying that thing is what we call the church, is the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm talking about. And I started by saying last week that in that kingdom that God or Jesus has come to create, in that housing scheme, it's like you need supermarket there, you need post office there, you need a school, you need, and you see that communities that are created without some of these facilities are not communities that are complete. And we see that even in Essequibo, in Batica, in Madia, in Lethem, where education, it is lower than what we have here in Georgetown. And so, are you following? Is it a good journey to follow? And so, that housing scheme Jesus is creating and continues to create, the church that Jesus is building and continues to build, he wants the church and the community to be self-sufficient. Because he came to create something different. He doesn't want us to live in that world and still depend on people on the outside. And so it is imperative, it is very important that we have enough people rising up to be workers so that people will be taken care of. Otherwise, what happens is that the love that God has, that he introduced Jesus. You get it? The love that God has, that he introduced Jesus into this world, and the life that Jesus has come to introduce, and then the rock upon which he's building his church, all right, and the church he's building, it will be a housing scheme or an entity that lacks a lot of things. Look at what the Chinese have come to do for us. Now, bounty? Yeah, my fault. Bounty? Survivor? We have already survived. What else? Real value? Oh, real value is Chinese. Now, there is almost a Chinese what? Supermarket. And they've not finished, though. No, yeah, no, Superman, Panda 1, 2, 3, 4, People's Choice 1, 2, 3, 4, they've not finished. And I regret not being at home when they came to knock on my door asking whether I'm renting the house. I would have given it to them. Oh yeah. I am curious as to what offer they have to give me. I want to know. Maybe I should call them and find some channel and say, I got something for you. Come and tell me what you got for offer. See if I can just give him my house. He give me some $50 million and I just move out. I come and live with Earl and Cherry here in Samaria. Yeah. I already have 3 bedrooms upstairs there already. I have toilet, kitchen, everything. All I have to do is just bring my bag. That's it. They have a secondary school right here. It's easy. They have a health center right here. And they have a church right here. I'm good. Are you following? It's very important to follow the journey. Because I think it gives us a better understanding why the church must continue to grow. Do you know that we have not, for all the 18 years, we have never had a church with an attendance of 400 before? I was checking the attendance. I saw somewhere in 2019, when I was at Hebron, there were 300 and something. Those at Hebron, you should see what is happening there now as compared to. We had an attendance, it was 300 and something, 90 something. It's right there, it's on record. So if you are from Hebron, you should see. We have not had. So this is an opportunity. So for God to bless us with a building like this, it is to help that project of which we are part of which it will benefit us, and then we actually don't understand. I, out of curiosity, I tried to Google the population of canal number 2. It's 8,000. And I think it includes Bell West. Because canal number 2 is from Stanley Town coming. That's canal number 2. It's 8,000 people. We don't have to go anywhere to look for any souls. And the most surprising record of data I saw is the line dam, what they call it. When you get to the conservancy, you go right. There's a whole community there. The population is 1,000 people. So we have 8,000 plus 1,000 going south. 9,000 people at our disposal. And all these people are people God expects for us to be able to bring into the housing scheme, the new world called the church, where what you lack, you'll be able to get it from somebody who is from the line dam, who has joined the church. What you need, what you are looking for, we'll be able to have all of it. Because it's unfortunate that God will create a scheme and there's no post office. And he says that I'm come to give you life and life in abundance. Even on a cruise ship, they will tell you, on a cruise ship, they have everything, including post office. As a ship is on sea, you can post a letter. You can post a letter. You can write to your beloved and say, "Beloved, I came on a test cruise ship so that when I marry you, I'll bring you here. And I can describe, there's a swimming pool, there's a bank, there's a post office, there are schools on cruise ships, there's restaurant, hospital. You can even undergo surgery right there on the cruise ship." So it's a self-sufficient world that is floating on the sea.
And I'm saying that to help you understand that as you have come, if you don't catch this thing of Jesus building his church and he's building it by you encouraging somebody to come in, we'll be here and then we will say that the life that he promised, I am not experiencing the life. It's not working. But it's because you're expecting a post office or you're expecting a bank when you are not trying to invite somebody who knows about banking to come around that we can use the person to start a bank. Are we understanding? And so the mega church, a large church, is a place where God wants to take us to. But he wants us to understand, because it shouldn't be me who understands mega church. You should understand mega church and be desirous to be part of a mega church. Because in a mega church, there are so many things. And that's why I said last week that you generate different types of things. There are different types of things that you need. I mean, I came from the Netherlands. And the Netherlands is noted for its promotion of prostitution. The red light district. How many have heard of that before? Red light district. This is Charlene. Have you heard of the red light district before? Oh, you've not. Okay. The red light district is a whole block or couple of blocks of prostitutes, gay, sex toys, gay clubs, strip clubs, a whole couple of blocks of these things. Shops that they sell things. So you can imagine it like from downtown Stabroek, breakdown, starting from the parliament. Is it parliament? Breakdown the parliament. All the way to Kofi. And then the left and the right. No, that is just one street. Then you have let's say Crow Street, also like that. So you have a breakdown, or let's say you have Durban Street, you have Hatfield, you have breakdown, you have Crow, you have South Road, you have Regent, you have Rob, and then you have North Road, and it's all from downtown all the way to the top. And left and right, you see different types of sexually, it's a sex industry. Legal. You can't get HIV there. No, you can't get, they are not stupid people. They do good business. David, they do good business. You can't go there and say, I went to the red light district and I got HIV. No, there's nothing like that. They do good business. Huh? Now, at that sex industry street, I'm telling you, there's nothing in this world about sex that you'll not find. He says that one day I'll take you there. You'll lose your appetite. And then there is no type of woman in this world you can't find at the red light district. Yeah. Any type. Then it is called red light district because the whole place has red lights. The lights are red. So we started from "For God so loved the world." Do you remember? They went to John 10:10. Went to Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. And then we're using that to explain mega church. And I'm using the red light. You probably will not understand it, but if you go there, there is no woman. I'm telling you. There is no. I'm telling you. You see how creative, evilly or evil creative people are with sex things. I'm telling you.
It's crazy. It's crazy. No, they're very, very serious. The Dutch people say that, you know, one of the things that helped them during the Second World War was when the Germans invaded Holland, one of the things that saved them was the prostitutes. The guys have been on the battlefield for a long time. And when they saw the girls, they put down their guns and they wanted to do cheeky-cheeky. It was out of that they lost guard and they were all captured and they were defeated. So they have developed the sex industry. And they also believe that, and which is true, there's no rape in Holland. There's no sexual abuse. Red light district, it's your sexual abuse. Red light district, it's your rape center. You go, showing, you'll be surprised. Black, white, red, green, everything. Everything. And there are people who go there comfortably. There are men who go there comfortably. African, Asian, European, Spanish, Caribbean. I'm telling you, if you are a man who wants to somewhat experience, you experience the whole world in that area. You don't have to travel. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this to tell you that if human beings can create an environment for people to be satisfied, then God is also beseeching, like Bible says, we are God's ambassadors. We are God's agents. And as it were, he's actually pleading through us for people to join that group, to join that town, to join that city, to be part of the project. And by doing that, we become self-sufficient. We become everything that we need among ourselves. We have not gotten that revelation that if I'm able to bring people to the church, it is for my benefit. It is to create an environment where we can depend on. You see, because a lot of the Bible, if you read it well, the Bible talks about do not be unequally yoked. Why? The Bible says we live in this world, but we are not of this world. There's a lot of verses and scriptures that tries to help us to understand that as much as we are in here, we are supposed to be among ourselves, within ourselves, doing things about ourselves. That's how the devil wants us to fight. To make the housing scheme a deadly place for people to move into. Because if you know that, this housing scheme that they started 2 years ago, I hear they've been killing people there. Nobody will take a house lot from there, even if it's free. And that's the nature. That's what happens when a church is not focused on trying to get people in, but focused on trying to fight each other and do all kinds of things among each other. It is the same neighborhood. It is the same community we are destroying. But that is a community that God is using to offer people life. And life abundantly. So you have to understand your responsibility and your role in ensuring that the church is built. You have to understand it. It's not something that you can sit back, relax. You can't enjoy the flight. I mean, many of you who go to Georgetown Hospital, I hear you, many people say, I was glad I met Sister Evo. I was glad I met Sister Evo. I was glad Sister Evo was there. I saw Sister Evo. And, because if it wasn't Evo, you suck your teeth 200 times. True or false? That is exactly what God wants for us, that we will be self-sufficient, that we will have things together in a certain sense, that we don't have to depend on the unbelievers.
So one of the reasons why we need a mega church is that mega church is like a nation. A mega church is like a nation. You must have a mega church because a mega church is a force to reckon with. And it becomes a nation within a nation. That's why the devil fights the church. He doesn't want to lose the people in the other nation. He doesn't want a nation to be formed in his nation. He has a nation already. He's taking people wild to hell already. Why are you trying to come and create a different nation within his nation? That is why when the church started and the disciples started changing people's mind and changing people's hearts with signs, with wonders, with miracles, then the other nation began to fight them and say, what is this competition that has arisen? We thought we were okay here by ourselves. What is this group of people who have come to introduce another president trying to lure people into another nation? That's that, and that is why the fight is there. Because a mega church is like a nation. Let me tell you, there is nothing nice like we having everything by ourselves and for ourselves. And you have to believe God and work at it. And get people to come to church. I was reading Stir It Up earlier today. The book is small chapters. One page, two pages. So you can kill it. The prophet was talking about stir up healing. Right, and he was saying how the woman with the issue of blood, you get it? She heard of Jesus. You remember that? She heard of Jesus. So the prophet was saying that. How come when the healing was recorded with a crowd, there was a crowd? Do you remember there was a crowd? There was a crowd, number one, because the lady had to press through. Number two, there was a crowd because when Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me," Peter said, "Oh, Jesus. Aha. No, look at this number of people and you're saying that somebody has touched you." So those are the two evidences that people, there was a crowd. Now, why is it only recorded that this woman got her healing? Was it because God wanted to show off and show us some wild miracles, and then the other ones that were little, he didn't want us to know because he's not so mighty a God? Nah. Prophet was explaining that it is faith that was generated in her by what she heard about Jesus Christ. That is what propelled her in that moment and in that crowd. The only one who went for healing was her. Because she had heard. When she had heard of Jesus, faith comes by hearing. And so I realize that if we also don't talk about our church in a certain light, it depends on your conversations and what you say. That's the last Sunday. The Lord was trying to deal with complaining. Yeah, complaining. Yeah, complaining. I was talking to somebody and I was saying that, you see, this, you know, the person was saying how blessed they were, the message and all of that. I said, you see, this thing, it doesn't take long, you know. Sunday, by Monday, you're complaining again.
And I bet many of you have complained since Sunday. You have erased. That's why Jesus, when he healed the guy, he said, go and sin no more. You have erased. You think it's easy to maintain your deliverance? Now, people are attracted to what they hear, whether good or bad. If we will understand the role we have to play in the building of this mega church and talk about the church in a positive light, without even trying to say, come with me, because there are some people, you can't do this bus and come with me thing with you. You just have to tell them, Charlie, my church, I'll never leave the church for anybody else. Ah, Charlie, Sunday when I went to church, Charlie, Sunday, my bishop, he preached very powerful. I did not believe the mighty words. When I left the church, I was so free. Do you think if you have a colleague you gaff like this with, don't you think the colleague will want to say, you know what? I won't come and visit your church. When she heard of Jesus, that's when she came. In the midst of all the commotion and the crowd, that's when she came by faith. She heard. And so we have to understand that people need to hear. And I'm saying that God gives us these opportunities so that we can consciously get people to come around that we ourselves will benefit from. Now, you have to think about your children. Who are they going to marry? We have to have a mega church is like a nation where marriage is not a problem because the citizens of the country, they marry each other. Maybe Chantel, maybe you are married, you're okay. But what happens to your child if the church doesn't grow? If the church doesn't get bigger, and you give birth to a nice puchi boy, who is he going to marry? He has to get somebody in the country to marry. Somebody in the church, somebody with a good shepherd mindset, somebody who we know, somebody who is around, something like that. That is why when you see those who have married outside and related, you see the confusion. Because you are trying to move out of the country. You are going to marry a citizen of another country with all the legal conditions around. I don't know whether somebody is listening to me. A mega church is like a nation. That's why the church is always persecuted, because it's like you are trying to group the people in the world into another grouping in this world, and it's not something we like. It's like you are forming a business within a business. It's not ethical. So the mega church is something that God is building. Jesus, I will build my church. But you have to understand that your role in building the church is very critical, because we are people who have been called to reconcile men back to God, because we need a large following to be able to live the life God wants us to live. Your life and abundance of it is dependent on the largeness of your circle of Christians.
I'll say it again.
You see, when he says that, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, it is dependent on the largeness of the circle of Christians you are in touch with. You see, one of the things that helped a lot of Christians in this country was the New Guyana School. Many years ago when they started, it was the best. That's why I got to know all the pastors. You just have to take your child there, you come across a pastor. Oh yeah. You don't know a pastor, you know one just now. Every morning you see, pa- pastors, almost a majority of the pastors from the East Coast, from the West Coast, from the East Bank, from Georgetown, in the morning, they are dropping their children. It was a place to meet a pastor if you want to see a pastor. In the afternoon, you see the pastors, or the pastors' wives, picking up their children. I got to know so many pastors through New Guyana School. I can't give you names. Bishop Messiah, Elsworth Williams, Apostle Brooks, Timothy King, Sean Sobers, all these people, all their children have passed through New Guyana School. Pastor Shane's father-in-law, Apostle Yorick, all of them. You see them. You see them. You see them. That's what Timothy King saw me after a few months when we encountered each other. He said he thought I was an insurance broker. Because I used to drop my children in a tie. I was in my every morning when I'm dropping them in my tie. Even if it's just to drop them and come back home, I'll put on my tie. When I'm going to pick them up, I put on my tie and go and pick them up. Then later when we got acquainted, he said, I didn't know you were a pastor. I thought you were an insurance broker. I said, no, I was trying to dress decently as a pastor. I don't know who's watching me. I'll drop them in the morning, early in the morning. I press my shirt, pants, tie, drop them, come back, take it off. That 1 hour or something, take it off. Then if it's 12 o'clock, you know, going to, I just put it back on and I go. I come back. That's how I used to behave. Yeah. New Guyana School helped most because you know our school system. So when Margarita and her husband Alfonso created this New Guyana School, a place where they do curriculum, Abeka. They were one of the first people who did this phonics. Abeka. Books from America. Expensive. Hey! When we started there, Adam, you didn't come and experience New Guyana School. You should have come early. I took the girls there, Lois and Titi. They were, that time they were in Prashad Nagar. That's when I used to take the bus. We used to live in Eccles. So I walk outside to the public road, catch a 42 bus, stop at Stabroek, walk and catch, kiri, 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 kiri. And then I stop at OMG. Then I walk straight through that road. About 15, 20 minutes in, there's a small house that they were in. I dropped them. Same route, go back. And then at 12 o'clock, I have to get back up. Public transport. Go and pick them up. Go and pick Lois and Titi. When we sit in the bus from Sheriff Street, by the time we get to Stabroek, Titi was the little one, so she would be sleeping. Lois will also sleep. So Titi will sit on my lap sleeping, and Lois will be sitting next to me. And when we get to the market, I have to wake Lois up because she's big. 5 years old, she's big. I can't carry you, so at least I'll carry Titi as she's sleeping, and I'll pull Lois. We'll go and catch another bus, 42. We'll sit inside. When we get to Eccles traffic light, we jump out, and I walk all the way in to the back of Eccles. I go home. I was a house husband. You know, I was a full-time pastor. Yeah, I didn't have a car for a good while. But the fact that they go and then they pray and they sing choruses and then they say, Jesus Christ is the Lord at the New Guyana School. And then they'll pass common entrance and they don't know this curse words and this indecent language and this is, it was something that was cherished by pastors and deacons and people in the church. It helped us. That is what God is trying to do with us, if we can understand it. That He's creating something called the church. And as the church gets bigger, because the church will not get big just naturally, the church will get bigger, it will grow by our involvement. And as it grows, it becomes a nation within a country called Guyana, where you see, because of Samaria, sometimes I hardly go to town. Because once I get to the Harbor Bridge, I turn in on the left because I live on the East Bank. To go to town, maybe just dropping my son or picking him up. Something I have to just pick something and come here with it. Town, what am I doing in town? It's like Samaria and the project and all of that has actually structured my life. It's like here. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to structure our life within his kingdom for a life that is more lively and in abundance. And so if you don't buy into this mega church dream and get involved with this basin, get involved in talking about the church so that people's faith will be generated by what they hear. I'm telling you, we'll be here, we'll punish her, and we'll wonder, is God real? Because remember in Acts chapter 2, when the church started, Abigail, the Bible said that nobody had any need. Don't we have needs today? There are people who come in who probably don't have food in their house to eat, but they don't say anything. Because they better don't say anything for anybody to say anything for them to hurt their feelings. The church has changed. Because we have not followed the project, the scheme that God is developing, the church that God is building, by becoming self-sufficient among ourselves and with each other. You see, I know one or two people who needed some things from the bank. They really didn't qualify, but the people told them to bring this paper. They helped them fix this, fix that. And whatever they wanted, they gave it to them. Kevin, is it like that? You need somebody inside to show you what to do.
Yeah. People have knowledge.
Yeah, people have knowledge. So you see some people doing something. It's not because they are able, because they know somebody in there. Inside. So if we don't build a church, Georgetown, I'm telling you, I can show you the records on my phone. 390-something, 2019. We have not even reached, we have not seen that here yet. How are you? 397, 2019 attendance. I was looking at it. When we went to Georgetown Club, we were 700. 700, you remember? We were all here, yeah. But we don't have 700 now. Pandemic came, orangus came, because the devil does not like a business within his business. He controls this world. How come a group of people are trying to gather themselves and live a good life and live a better life and be self-sufficient? He doesn't like it. But that is a fight that you and I must engage ourselves in. That is God's will. And no matter the fight, no matter the challenge, we must still understand the role we have to play in ensuring that the church is built. Now, people will not stay in the church. You can't even have a church that is growing if you don't have people visiting. For those who came late, I was just Googling the population of Canal number 2. It's 8,000. From Stanley Town coming all the way to the back, including Bellwest, it's 8,000 people. We don't need to go outside to look for people. 1,000 can easily come from here. Then, the line dam, where Papi used to bring people from. Where's Papi? Papi used to bring people from there. I think Karen go. The number of people who live there, it's on the internet. It's 1,000 people. Yeah, this side. Yeah. No, we should. Well, these Saturdays, Andre, we got to take some speakers and go and just connect to a microphone and do some small crusade there. We don't need everybody. Just 10 of us. You, me, Talman, Earl, JP, Francis, we'll go and do some crusade. I'm sure we'll get people from there to come to church. No, there are some people who live there. They come out here to catch bus by boat. They don't walk. They use boat on the conservancy and come this way to be able to travel out. No, you live here. You should go out there and see what is there.
1,000 people is on the internet. From this conservancy, going south, going north, 1,000 people.
I don't know whether you've sent a package there before, Chawe. They don't do FedEx.
Okay. We don't have an excuse. And if we don't do it, we are the ones who lack the life that Jesus has promised us. Because the life that Jesus has promised us is not automatic. It has to be activated. The Lord was telling me the other day that a lot of people have sleeping anointings. I don't mean anointing to sleep. That's what I'm talking about. No. A lot of people are anointed, but anointing is sleeping. That's what I mean. Not that you have anointing. No. How God talk to me about sleeping up. You think God is concerned about sleep? No. Yeah. He's saying that there is power in a lot of people, but the power is dormant. It's resting. It's asleep. And I remember, I think I can relate with it because I remember one day I was casting out the devil, and the devil told me, why have I woken him out of his sleep? Hebron, right in front of the Aquaba room, around that side. They said, why have I woken him out of his sleep? So I understand when the Lord says, people have anointing, he has given people anointing, but anointing is just resting, it's just lying there. It's not being used. And he said that anointing is activated when you move around. Don't let me go into anointing. But if you don't go to another place, you will not see what is in you. You will not know what is in you. If you don't change your roles in the church, from singing star to worship star, you will not know what you can do. Jesus had to go around to know that his hometown, the people were wicked. Not that he didn't have anointing, but it was the people who were wicked. It's when he sent the disciples out that when they came back, they said, hey, we have been moving around here polishing your shoe and things. We didn't know we were anointed like that. I'm telling you, you have it all. You just have to activate it. The church, people must visit the church for the first time to even consider God and serving Him. If you don't bring somebody to church, you see, what you and I know and we experience is very normal to you and I, but to somebody, it's completely new. So what? He's just like this. Was it Sunday or something that I think Calvin was telling me? There's a young girl who was, you know, moving around, going out and all of that. I was told that she was trying to leave the church because when people were shouting and falling down, she was afraid. She was trying to run away. You people are falling down and shouting. You say, oh, the power of God is moving. No, she's running away. Some jumbie, something is coming to, to catch you. So she's running away. Very interesting. You are here. Your eyes are closed. Your hands are lifted. You are enjoying the atmosphere. You say, oh, the power of God is here. Somebody is running away. And so if you don't activate your anointing that is in you and bring people, we will not even have people who will want to stay and serve God. That's why it's very important to get involved in bringing a bus, bussing people to church. Otherwise, you see, and it's sad when your joy is supposed to be here, but your joy is out there. And there are some of you, your joy is not here, your joy is out there. But he's saying that I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. A mega church is like a nation. has his schools, he has everything. You don't need no nothing, no loan, nothing from anywhere. A mega church. Do you know that this guy, John Alexander Dowie, those who did church history, was he the one who built Zion City? He built a city called Zion. Bible students, are you awake? Yeah! John Alexander Dowie. Zion City. He said he was Elijah. At that point, he said he was Elijah. But he built it just like we have come here. You know, some people would have done that. We do a small church like the Macarius house in front. Then at the back, we do some farming. And then the rest, we give it out as house lots. So Sherwin and Kechi and the boys have some one-bedroom apartment here. And then like that. All of us. So from the here to all the back, small houses, apartments, small houses. It's like, this is the city, Good Shepherd City. Yeah. And then among ourselves, one of the ladies said, you know what? I can teach. Pastor Mary said, I can teach the children. They don't have to go out. So why not? So in the morning, you put on them some long white mazi dress like and then they go into some small hut somewhere. Pastor Mary will teach them A, B, C, D. Blah, blah, blah. And then you have nurses. Pastor says, I'll start a health center. And then some say, I'll cook restaurant. Everybody can come here and eat. We don't go out anymore. Don't go out anymore. We are here. We have school. We have hospital. We have everything here. We have church. We say that we are not of this world. This world is not my home. We are just passing through. We are right here in Samaria. We are cultivating. We are planting our own cassava, planting everything, and don't leave and everything. Before we realize, the abbe will become useful. Do you know abbe? Abbe. It's money that is wasting. If you know Abe, I should probably bring somebody from Ghana to come and deal with this. There's so much Abe here. Almost everything about a palm tree is useful. You get broom from it also, if you like. You get wine from it. You get oil from it. You can get soup. You can get oil. Two types of oil. You can get soap from it. That tree that is there. So many things you can get from it. But you see, when you go and see, you see that it's just wasting. It's the Akri who comes to eat the Abe. It's all over. Adam Okai Abe. Abe Nkwai. Nice. You can make nice soup. Oh, so yeah. Maybe you should teach the people, you know. Maybe you should teach it. Maybe the wives around, the women, you should, yeah. So, because the thing is wasting. It's wasting. It's like gold that we don't know what it is. You can teach them. Maybe you should just do it. I bet all the wives and the ladies, just gather one of these. Just show them how to do it. Then when it's ripe, we can cut it and give everybody one bunch. And you take it home, you go and use it. A mega church is like a nation. That's why Jim Jones brought people here. He had his own nation. The only thing is that he killed all of them. That's even why he was able to kill all of them. Because they were all together. They did everything in common. Jim Jones, he's a mystery. How he was able to bring so many hundreds of people from America and come and kill them here in Guyana and leave spirits walking around our country. Pulling aeroplanes down when you fly over them. Yeah. Demons, they are flourishing. Because we encourage death and all those things around. So, ladies and gentlemen, Bas. You know, Desley was in the hospital. And then I went to check up on her. When I met her, all she's talking about is Bas. I said, girl, you there in the hospital or you thinking about bus? It's a Bishop Sunday. I was bringing a bus, you know. It's like her whole mind is bus. It's nice. I hope you also have, you dream about buses. Three buses, four buses. On our swollen Sunday, which is when? About 2 weeks from now? 2 weeks from now. Every bus person and anybody else, everybody's bringing, if you bring a bus already, you are bringing two buses. And if you don't bring a bus, you're bringing one bus. David, you're bringing a bus on Solemn Sunday. You park your motorbike, or you put a motorbike on top of the bus, and then you come here. Everybody, thank you, Desley. So if you don't have a bus, if you don't bring a bus, I said 2019, Hebron, I saw attendance 397. In that scheme, that small space we have there, we're able to do it. So if you don't have a bus now, don't worry. Solemn Sunday is 2 weeks from now. Okay, so that's the announcement. Even if you don't know the date, 2 weeks from now, we will do it Solemn Sunday. If you bring a bus already, you bring two. If you don't bring a bus, you're bringing a bus. Akima, so you don't bring a bus already, so you bring one, isn't it? And those who bring bus already, Tandy, you bring two. That's our target. Trisha will bring three. Yeah, it's possible. David is bringing one bus. We are not saying bring somebody. Bring somebody is a joke. We're bringing bus. Tell your neighbor, we're bringing a bus. Everybody's bringing a bus. Do you know that? Can you see the space here that you say you're bringing one person? Everybody's bringing a bus. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, put your hands together for the Lord.
For booking and more information on the ministry of Victor Collins, please call us on 592-691-5301 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. God richly bless you.